we realized there was a new type of visitor to Montana that we didn't realize was here. And they were new to outdoor recreation. So we added to the message on how to recreate responsibly.
This is Can Do, a podcast that explores the business lessons essential for success in these volatile times. Can Do shares the insights of industry experts, along with the experience and advice of local businessmen and businesswomen. Whether you're a business owner, an entrepreneur, or your career is affected by the current economic climate, these lessons will give you the guidance you need to make informed decisions about your future. I'm your host, Arnie Sherman. The outdoor recreation industry is the second largest sector of Montana's economy, generating $7.1 billion in annual consumer spending. 71,000 Montanans are employed in this sector, making its performance essential to the state's full economic recovery. Today on Can Do, we will discuss the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on outdoor recreation and what the next year could look like. Joining me for this timely conversation are Racine Freedy, President and CEO of Glacier Country Tourism. Glacier Country Tourism represents 75 Montana communities in the northwest area of the state. Scott Pankratz, Executive Director of the Adventure Cycling Association. For the past 40 years, the Missoula-based association has offered guided bike tours, produced essential navigation tools, and much more. The 52,000-member association aims to inspire, empower, and connect people to bicycle travel. What has been the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on outdoor recreation and tourism? What response within the industry has been successful? What does 2021 look like for this essential part of the Montana economy? This and much more in today's episode of Can Do. Support for this episode of Can Do is provided by the Dennis and Phyllis Washington Foundation, dedicated to investing in people to improve the quality of their lives. Additional support comes from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. And Parsons, Bailey & Latimer, a regional law firm with national expertise, representing the interests of Montana entrepreneurs and businesses. More information at ParsonsBailey.com. Welcome to the show today, Racine and Scott. It's great to have you. Racine, let me start with you. Tell us a bit about Glacier Country Tourism and how has the last year been for tourism?
Well, Glacier Country Tourism is one of the six regional destination marketing organizations in Montana. So instead of like a commission visitor bureau where they're representing a community and maybe the surrounding area, the state is divided up into regions. And Glacier Country is the 8 counties of Northwest Montana. When COVID hit, we obviously kind of did a knee-jerk reaction. We were really concerned about what was going to happen. We felt like travel was going to come to a screeching halt, which it did for a little while. But outdoor recreation was kind of the double-edged sword for us in that while we were still sheltering in place, little did we know there was a lot of people on the ground coming to Montana. And they were here when we started to emerge in June and open things back up. We didn't realize how many outdoor recreationists were on the ground. The campgrounds were filling up. Our national forests were filling up. VRBOs were filling up, Airbnbs, and people were finding wide open spaces and safe places to go. And they felt like more the rural areas like Montana, Wyoming, and such were those places to go.
Let me bring Scott into the conversation. Scott, tell us, what is Adventure Cycling Association all about?
We are about getting people out on their bicycles to experience the transformative power of bicycle travel. So it's not, you know, it's a little different edge on the biking world. You know, a lot of people are commuting or out mountain biking for the day. What we do is provide resources, equipment, inspiration to get people out to travel overnight, point to point, being out on the bicycle with the people they're traveling with and experiencing the communities and the natural environment that they're traveling through.
And how has the pandemic affected your association specifically and the industry in general?
Yeah. So we have 52,000 members, and it's the largest bicycle membership organization in the U.S. When the pandemic first hit, right in March is when everybody was becoming very concerned with the pandemic, and lots of plans had been made for summer travel. And so that's what really affected us, our operations, and our members. We had plans, tours set up to go, and the pandemic was coming on. We shut everything down. And similar to Racine, what we realized, you know, within a few months after kind of that crisis response of what do we do? What do we tell our members? How do we deal with the tours that we started canceling right away? We also realized there was this opportunity, like what we do, we promote bicycle usage, travel. It's outdoor, usually in small groups. And there was something that we could provide in the midst of this crisis.
Racine, you market more than just locations. You market the businesses that are involved within the 8-county area in outdoor recreational activity. Has that continued to be the focus of the association during the pandemic?
Prior to the pandemic, I would have said that Glacier Country was more of what a destination marketing organization is. And that is really about getting people who don't live here to come to our destination and to experience everything there is to see and do within our region. But what happened is when the pandemic hit, we did a hard pivot from being a destination marketing organization to a destination management organization, where what we were trying to do is communicate to people who already had an intent to come and to the people who were already on the ground what to do, what was open, how to prepare, encourage them to travel safe. And another piece of the puzzle, kind of midway into the summer, once we realized what was happening on the ground, is we realized there was a new type of visitor to Montana that we didn't realize was here. And they were new to outdoor recreation. So we added to the message on how to recreate responsibly, how to camp responsibly, leave no trace, making sure people were respectful, how to be prepared, because when you're doing outdoor recreation, there's a lot of things that you need to do on the ground. So we shifted from talking about just coming here to talking about, well, once you're here, this is what we expect of you, and this is how you do it. And we really wanted them to still travel and still experience those things on the ground. It was just a different message.
How's your experience with that been, Scott?
Yeah, we were a little more conservative, I'd say. You know, through March and into the summer, we discouraged travel. You know, being a nonprofit organization, the safety of our participants and communities was kind of first and foremost in our minds. And at the same time, people were traveling. And so we did that as well. We realized people are traveling, and people are coming through our office like they do every summer, doing their cross-country route. One of the like highlight moments for many of these travelers is stopping in our office here in Missoula, Montana, because we are the center. We are the mecca of bike traveling. And this year we had about 100 bike travelers stop into the office. Usually we have 1,000. And so we realized we could learn from them, like, hey, what's open? How are you dealing? How are you keeping yourself safe? What's the response from communities? And we also provided a lot of information out to these travelers that stopped by, but also on the website through webinars, different virtual meetings about how to travel safely. You know, try to stay self-contained, go in small groups, stay closer to home. Just basic guidelines that we could kind of filter through the bike travel lens from what's coming from the CDC and other experts in terms of keeping people safe. If you're going to travel, here's our recommendations. And I think that helped a lot. We learned a lot through that process and also realized, wow, we can do this as a community and as bike travelers. We can still get out and do this activity and have these transformational experiences in a safe way. And we were really, I feel like, very effective in terms of our role to promote that and be a leader in communicating that to our members.
We actually did something very similar along those lines. Within about 2 or 3 weeks after we went into shelter in place, we created a video that was Love Now, Explore Later, which was telling people that now was not the time to come to Montana. About 2 months into it, though, we realized they were coming anyway. And that's where we went, okay, now we need to be switching our message around. We were super lucky in the fact that we and all the other destination marketing management organizations in Montana worked with the Montana Office of Tourism and Economic Development. They had received a portion of money from the CARES Act that came to Montana that was allocated towards safety messaging. And so we partnered with Office of Tourism and we implemented a massive safety messaging campaign that started in August and ended in December. And so that's what we've been actually doing for the last 5 months is solely safety messaging.
And how has the numbers of tourists been affected by all of this?
Overall, what we have been seeing, at least what's coming from Institute for Tourism and Recreation Research, is that in 2020, our overall visitation of people was down about 8%. Now, where they were spending their money is drastically different. We still have certain sectors that are greatly impacted. Live entertainment is just not back. Meetings and conventions are not back. Anything to do with group travel is just not there. Those type of activities are looking at probably 2022 and beyond. Even hotels, motels are struggling a little bit. They're off. But we do have the outdoor recreation side of things. They're doing very, very well.
So is that where the money's been spent?
Very much so.
We've seen something really interesting as well. As you look at the context of how the pandemic hit and affected us, like with the shelter in place going down and people not knowing what to do, not feeling safe traveling, having to cancel plans, there was a high level of this desire for escapism, you know, and they wanted to know what they could do and at least be inspired by it and connected to it if they couldn't do it now. And so that's something that we kind of tried to pivot into because we publish a magazine. And we have amazing stories and of people, you know, engaged in really adventurous and awesome transformational travel. And so we provided that first and foremost. And the other big kind of contextual aspect that affected us was the supply chains. So as the COVID virus came in and affected some of the factories making bicycle parts and products, at the same time, there was this huge surge in interest in bicycling across the country. And so you got this double wave that was like this perfect storm of making this difficult for people, or people wanted to get out and bicycle. They knew they could, but they couldn't buy bicycles because the supply chains had been interrupted. So the demand was super high, but the supply was relatively low. And so that's something that's affected the industry and us as well. Like our supply chains trying to get, we sell gear from our office here in Missoula, and it's really difficult for us to get the gear that people are demanding and asking for in this time. Because now people are starting to plan for the future. As things are starting to come back around with the vaccine and hopefully we'll get the numbers under control. But people are planning for the future and really excited about that as well.
Racine, Montana seems to be a destination of choice for many people who particularly can't travel internationally. And you've had in the past couple of years the additional occurrence of a couple of major television shows highlighting Montana, both Yellowstone and there's another one. Can you measure the impact of that on tourism in Glacier Country?
Yes, I can. The Montana Film Office has actually been working directly with those productions. We always see an impact when there is a movie, whether it's The River Runs Through It or Yellowstone. Any type of presence in Montana, be it actually filmed in Montana or not, we will see interest. Now, Yellowstone, we're seeing a lot. And what most people didn't know is until this last summer, only 10% of Yellowstone was actually filmed in Montana. Most of it was being filmed in Utah. But they made the big move and moved the entire production to Montana this last summer. So we have not only felt the impact of the exposure from the show, but we're actually seeing the economic side of things of it being filmed on the ground. So along those lines, we're actually seeing a tremendous number of people who are interested in filming, whether it's a commercial or whether it's a feature film or whether it's actually more series. The film office is incredibly busy right now, but a lot of that does have to do with our landscapes. Montana is a beautiful destination and it provides an amazing background for film and television.
Scott, have you seen any areas in the United States that are faring better than others in your industry? And additionally, you work internationally as well. What's happening outside the United States in adventure cycling?
Yeah, so adventure cycling is focused in domestic travel. And we develop routes and publish maps. It's all domestic. Some of it goes into Canada as well. So that's been impacted dramatically, you know, just because we can't cross the border, we can't promote cross-border travel. Our tours that have crossed the borders have all been shut down. In terms of areas that are faring better, I mean, it's generally places like Montana that have more rural landscapes and more open spaces. That's where we see people are traveling by bicycle in any case and using our products most successfully and kind of most appropriately in terms of their community interaction. And I think that this idea of escapism is real. So people that are in these you know, more highly populated areas, they're looking to get out. You know, they're coming to places like Montana. And for us, they're looking at how to use their bicycle to do that, using our resources and our inspiration to follow through on that dream and that aspiration in a safe way.
Racine, you mentioned that our tourism is only down 8%. We've always relied on a lot of foreign tourists who have come to visit the national parks and the other amenities in Montana. When do you think that's coming back, and how are you going to encourage that to come back?
We're actually already talking with the foreign tour operators. We know just along with tours, group tours, with meetings and conventions, even though those activities are not happening now, they are traditionally activities that are being planned 1 to 5 years out. So we're actually talking with tour operators and people who are planning those type of events right now. We have a tourism sales manager who is participating in online trade shows. And so they are talking about what's happening on the ground, how to do it safely, and what kind of new product is, or what the changes of product are right now. We do see in 2022, things are going to not come back all at once, but they are going to start off slow. And we're just preparing for that. We are preparing our businesses for that, but we're also preparing the visitors who are going to be coming for that. Everything that we have right now is how to travel safely and what to anticipate when they're here and they're on the ground. So again, it's kind of a more robust message. Instead of just coming, it's much more built out in terms of what we're trying to communicate.
Scott, Racine talked about her pivot in her organization. What did that look like for you?
We are known for providing resources for these epic long distance trips. And it's an amazing, we were founded in 1976. It was called Bike Centennial. So we celebrated the 200th anniversary of the United States, the Bicentennial. And this organization was founded with the idea in mind of traveling cross country, getting a huge group of people to do it, you know, during the summer of 1976. We had 4,000 riders come across the country that year. So that's like our DNA. What we have seen is as people weren't able to do those huge and epic trips, they're still looking for that way to get out. And so what we've done is provided online resources and trainings, inspiration, but also we're putting together a series of shorter trips out of 8 metropolitan areas to respond to this, because people are wanting to travel closer to home. They're wanting to travel domestic, and they're wanting to travel in smaller groups with people they know. And so with that in mind, and we know that that's going to help us and help people get out this current year and next year as the vaccines start to roll out, but also to help kind of bridge people into bicycle travel that are buying bikes for the first time, riding bikes for the first time. How do we make that accessible to them? And so that's been a big focus of our work in this moment. And it's got immediate need and results, but we all see it as having a long-term benefit to the organization, well-being of our participants, and getting more people out to experience what we provide.
We are speaking with Racine Freedy, President and CEO of Glacier Country Tourism, and Scott Pankratz, Executive Director of Adventure Cycling Association. Support for this episode of Can Do is provided by Montana Rail Links, committed to safely delivering transportation solutions to their customers. Additional support comes from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. And Parsons, Bailey & Latimer, a regional law firm with national expertise, representing the interests of Montana entrepreneurs and businesses. More information at ParsonsBailey.com. Racine, you mentioned you're talking with tour operators about 1, 2, 3, 4 years in the future. You must rely on data analytics of some sort to try to give you some sort of prediction of what's going to happen in the future. What is the data showing you?
Right now, we are watching data very, very closely. Ever since the pandemic hit, there is a research organization called Destination Analytics that has been holding weekly online webinars, and they are polling people on a regular basis. And so they're providing that information back to us. And over the course of time, they've been telling us about what people's intent to travel are, how excited are they to travel. And the most recent data that we have, and I think there's 15 different data points of as to what their interest is, and literally the top 7 are all related to outdoor travel. National parks is up 46% over May of 2019. So these things just continue to grow. And it's a trend. Outdoor recreation is the trend. And of course, Montana, outdoor recreation is a driver for Montana's economy.
You mentioned national parks are up 46%. That brings up the issue of backcountry and public lands. A lot of Montana, a lot of the United States is public land. How do both of your organizations view what's happening with the use of public lands? Scott, let me start with you.
I mean, I think it's a great thing. Like we are so fortunate to live in a country that has a public lands program, national park system like we have. I benefit from it every summer and every month of the year with my family. And to get more people connected to that, I think only elevates us as a society in terms of personal well-being and wellness and an acknowledgement and awareness of how our system is set up to provide that to its citizens. It's an amazing thing. Most of the travelers that we have, they're doing bicycle travel, they're in smaller groups and they have experience camping. They've got some background, they know what they're doing, and they're traveling low impact. And so for us, it's not as much of an issue in terms of the unintended consequences of that increase in usage. What we do see is our bikers that are traveling, they are very much appreciating the hiker-biker campsites and the availability to show up and have a place to pitch that tent, because they're not always making reservations months or weeks in advance like you might do in an RV. And so having that, that's something that our organization has promoted for many years now. For like the state campgrounds in Montana have hiker-biker campsites. And so if you roll in, you're guaranteed a campsite to stay at. And you just got your bike, so it's a pretty easy support to provide. And it's really meaningful right now in particular.
Racine?
Public lands have definitely seen an impact, and it's kind of a double-edged sword. I will say on positive side, it is one of the reasons that Montana is faring so well. Places like Montana, Wyoming, we are leading the way in terms of the recovery, which is a positive thing for our economy. But on the other side of the mix is we've got a lot of people that are on the ground, and our state parks, they had a record number of reservations and usage of the state parks. The Forest Service campgrounds had a tremendous number of camping, and not just in their established campgrounds, but they had a lot of boondocking, dry camping that was going on. So it is a pro and a con. It kind of goes back to us helping to prepare those people that are coming on what the expectations are, and just help to manage the people that are on the ground a little bit better.
Do you think post-vaccine that the exposure of new outdoor enthusiasts is going to remain, or are you preparing for a pullback?
Yeah, I think it will remain. I mean, I hope that people are understanding this is something that they can do, and now is a great time to do it, you know, in terms of the access. And hopefully when people kind of dip their toe into it and, you know, camp for the first time or travel by bicycle, maybe do a bike overnight for the first time. I mean, it's eye-opening. It's lovely. You know, it changes people's lives. And that's why we do what we do. So the idea that maybe this is an opportunity, this crisis is an opportunity to provide something to people that they will realize brings them great value and will continue doing into the future, that would be a wonderful outcome of a terrible time. And I think it will continue.
Racine?
That's actually a question that we've been talking about a lot. Of the new people that are coming, we feel like there's going to be a tremendous number of people that are like, this is amazing. This is a new passion of mine. I did not understand what experiencing the great outdoors was going to be like and how good it is for the soul. And then there's going to be some people that it was just not their cup of tea, and they might just kind of go back to life as it was before. But never in the history of time have we had this kind of opportunity to have as many people try outdoor recreation like we've had in the last year.
Scott, you have a fairly large staff. How has the pandemic affected your work style and looking into your organization? Has everybody been working at home, or are we going to implement the changes that have taken place in response to COVID? What do you see from an organizational perspective?
Yeah, it's been profound. We have about 40 staff. So March 17th, we all went work from home. And before that, we didn't have a robust work from home telecommuting infrastructure and policies. So it was a huge change for us. Luckily, the technology staff that we have are top notch, and we're able to pivot that and make it work seamlessly. So our workflow has been consistent and stable, which is amazing and awesome. And just huge kudos to the staff we do have here that provided that. I expect we'll probably continue to have some work from home flexibility from here forward. You know, many people are enjoying having that. And at the same time, like, it's been really difficult. The lack of connectivity and human interaction and the way we meet is challenging for people, you know, and there's a sense of isolation that sinks into me at times, you know, where I can't connect with people the way I used to and want to and desire. And that's really tough. And I know that the pandemic brings stress to people in different ways, depending on if they live by themselves or they live with their parents. I live with my mom. She's 86. Like, that is another level of stress for me, caring for her and thinking about her well-being during these times. And other members of my staff have similar but different anxieties right now. And I believe that does affect our performance as an organization and the cohesiveness and sense of togetherness we have during these times. And I think we each suffer that in different ways. It's not just this organization. So I think there is profound impacts from this.
Racine?
We have a staff of five, and the pandemic hit on a Friday. Monday, we met in the office, and we have not been in the office as a group ever since then. We are, four out of five of us are completely remote, created a safe little bubble for our office manager at the office. But yeah, it's been hard. I mean, we're all kind of extroverts. We are in the travel industry. We love talking to people. We love working with people. And now we're kind of in our little pods and doing everything online. We were really good at it, I have to say. We've adjusted very, very well. But we all look forward to the time when we can get back together again.
You've adjusted well, but many of the businesses that you represent have had a hard time adapting and adjusting to the changing COVID rules and regulations. You represent bars and restaurants and hotels and all that. How has the message gotten out to them? And then how does that message get back to the people that are coming to Montana?
Yeah, that's part of the whole being prepared piece of the puzzle. And we are trying to, one, communicate with our communities. We have 75 communities that we represent. We're trying to stay in communication on what's open, what's not. How are you guys doing? Now you have changed hours. Trying to help support our businesses, especially restaurants that may not be able to accommodate a lot of people. And so, you know, buy those gift cards, support those businesses one way or another, and then helping take that information and push it out to the people that we're talking to. We're a conduit of information from our businesses to the people who are coming. And so it's been a struggle. Our heart breaks for the businesses who are struggling right now. It's hard to see because those are friends and those are family.
Scott, as adventure cycling has grown and expanded, particularly in this last year, what are the infrastructure needs that need to keep pace with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple of things. One is we're seeing a huge increase in usage and interest in trails, bike trails, multimodal transportation options. There have been several groups that have gotten together, national leaders in trails and biking, to talk about what we can do to help promote additional infrastructure investments, because we realize this is something that our society needs. I just saw a study recently, 86% of cities are considering measures to increase their support of biking infrastructure looking forward. And so the question is, how do we sustain this and what can we do to support that? And there's a lot of interest in that right now.
Racine, how important is the infrastructure development that's going on in Western Montana to the outdoor recreation scene? We have an expansion of Missoula Airport going on. We have an expansion of the Glacier International Airport going on. What else is going on and what else do we need?
One, this kind of pause area that we have going on right now, I think allows us to make some headway. I know that Missoula Airport has taken advantage of some of the lower visitation numbers going through, and they're being able to make pretty good progress on the building that's going on out there. Whereas with the Glacier Park International Airport, they've had to put that completely on pause. The interesting thing about airlines and what's happening in Montana right now is where the country is only seeing about 30% of what they did in 2019 with their employments and deployments. Montana is right about 50%, and we gained flights, not lost flights. And of course, we're concerned about that because we want to keep those flights. But how do we do that when travel has not made a full recovery yet? So we're in a sticky position. But prior to the pandemic, we absolutely had to be making these expansions. The airports, both airports in Glacier Country, were just not able to keep up with the number of flights that were coming in. So infrastructure improvements are going to be incredibly important to all of Montana, especially air transportation.
We are right in the midst of our winter recreation season. What are you seeing now?
We are seeing good visitation. We have seen record number of season passes being sold at pretty much all of our areas. The problem that we have right now is snow. And this is something that we face every single winter. When we have really good snow, the numbers are spectacular. But when we have less snow and we're seeing less snow than what we anticipated, the numbers aren't quite as strong as we would like. So we're doing the snow dance at Glacier Country, hoping for more snow so that we can keep our ski areas and our snowmobile trails and our cross-country trails and get our dog sledders back out on the trails and get people out there.
Last question for both of you. Can you share with our listeners, you know, what have you learned from the past year that really stands out and would be instructive for them? Scott, you want to take a stab at that?
Sure. Yeah, we had a board meeting in May and we were starting to cut back expectations and budget numbers and fundraising was going to be down, tours down, membership down. One of my board members said, hey, you got to also look at where there might be opportunity in this. And hearing him say that really stuck with me from that moment forward. We really thought about that. Like, what is it that we provide that's unique that can give something back to people and be durable. And we started rethinking how we go about our business and what we provide and what people need in these times. And to me, that would be a takeaway message. I think many businesses have that. And now's the time to rethink how you provide that to the people that are your customers and stakeholders, you know, and with our magazine, our inspiration, our maps and our routes that people can purchase and look and plan. And then providing safe ways to get out there and still do things that bring you a sense of value and success and satisfaction and joy, because we need joy right now too.
Racine, what's your takeaway message?
One of the things that I keep coming back to is to not take things for granted. I think we all got in our safe little zone, and whether it's business or personal, and we didn't realize how amazing life was and how amazing our communities and things were. So along with that is embracing what is most important to us. But also the one thing that I think has been most beneficial business-wise is for people to not shut communication off. They need to remember to share what's happening with their business with other people, because I've never seen a sense of community more than I have now within our business community. People want to help each other, but we need to know how we can help people. And so communicating with one another. One of the simplest things in the world we recommended right off the bat was make sure that any adjusted hours, any adjusted services, anything that's happening, make sure that it's on your website, make sure it's on your social media, make sure it's being communicated to your local chamber or your business organizations, and keep it updated, because that is one way that we can all stay abreast of what's happening with one another.
Scott, Racine, thank you for joining me today. This has been a very informative conversation. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Arnie.
Thank you all.
I appreciate your listening to Can Do, produced by Peter Hogue and Beth Ann Austin in association with Montana Public Radio. For comments, recommendations for future guests, or general information, please go to mtpr.org. There you can also find previous guest contact information and content from all our shows. Listen next time when our guest will be Chris Walsh, Chief Operating Officer and co-founder of LifeScore Music, an innovative platform for music composition generating original music in real time. I'm Arnie Sherman, wishing you good health and prosperity.